Hey Potters, welcome to episode 211 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Woo! Quarantine edition, infinity.
Infinity and beyond.
I've lost count. We can't say that is copywritten.
I don't think that is.
I'm pretty darn sure that is. Don't anger the... What is their mascot?
Don't mess with the mouse. Let's see. I'm Googling this now.
I wasn't sure if that was Disney or Pixar at this point.
No, it's all Disney. Okay.
It's all in my head at this point, because now they all do the same kind of animation. Which isn't even really the same kind of animation that Disney used to do anyway.
I don't see a trademark on this. We're good. We're safe.
Please, YouTube, don't take us down.
As long as we don't share any videos that are more than 6 seconds long or play any songs that are longer than 6 seconds, we're good. It's the good safe zone.
Yep. So basically, we are the equivalent of, what were those, vines?
Yeah, pretty much.
The ones that were only like 6 seconds long?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all. That was 15 seconds ago. But let's go ahead and start with cosplay updates. Do you have anything?
No. Oh, is my camera out of focus again? Camera, stop. Okay.
So, I don't have a pile of fabric. I have pieces of fabric, which I am stitching together. Because, of course, you guys know I was working on my corset. And I sealed the pieces with HexFlex, and they were ready to paint. And then my ceiling literally started falling in my apartment. It has happened twice now. They told me I had to move all of my furniture away from that area of the ceiling so that they could come and fix it. So my entire living room is very helter-skelter right now because I had to shove all of my furniture, most of which is much bigger than I am, into the other half so that they could fix it. And then they fixed it. And an hour later, the area around where he fixed it started falling too. So I didn't even bother to move all my furniture back. I just left it there, and I immediately, like, told maintenance to please come fix it again. And because of that, I actually can't get to my patio because all my furniture is in front of my back door, which means I can't paint my corset because I have no place outside that I can paint it. And Amber is being good this time. I made good choices. I am not spray painting inside my apartment.
Thank you.
So because I cannot paint anything, which is literally the next step in the process, I can't do anything till I paint. Well, I'm starting to pattern the dress because, you know, may as well move on to another part of the project. So I pulled out my pattern envelope, and you guys, if you've watched the show pretty much close to the beginning, you know that I'm a pattern hoarder. So I pulled out my pattern that I had the last time I made Athena's dress. And it occurs to me that I think I purchased that pattern back in my college days. I graduated college a long time ago, y'all. I am not the same sized person. And the largest that that pattern went to was a size 14 in the US. And there's no way I will fit into that right now. I am several sizes larger than that. So because I dislike waste and I didn't feel like going out and buying a whole new pattern at full price because they're not on sale right now, I literally took the pattern pieces, which you can actually see on the front. I traced the pattern and then I traced an inch around it all the way around. I just added an inch to every seam and I cut out the pieces. That was kind of a wild guess on my part based on how many sizes I had to go up, because usually it's like a quarter inch or a half inch per size range that you go up. So it was actually a really good guess. This fits almost perfectly without tailoring thus far. Thus far, I am tailoring piece by piece this time so that as I add each piece to my muslin, I am doing the fitting with that piece. So I'm only doing one half so that left and right are symmetrical. And right now I'm just doing, I guess this would be considered the left hand. It's my left. I guess it's your right. It goes on this side of my body.
So it's still
stage
the left
right.
Side.
It's on my left.
There you go.
I don't know how it appears to you guys, but yeah, I'm doing that half. And so far I haven't had to tailor too much. I may have to change the princess scene just ever so slightly. But otherwise, I'm actually really happy with this thus far. I am using up the pattern pieces from other old patterns that I hung on to. So no waste. I'm reusing my fabric, which also makes me very happy. I have no idea where I'm going to find pattern pieces or old pieces long enough for the skirt parts. I may have to just like quilt together some scrap pieces and just kind of stick them all together Frankenstein style. And
I've done that before. It works. I mean,
that may be what I have to do. Unfortunately, I don't have any fabric that's of a similar weave as the final fabric I'll be using. But this is at least a similar weight, even if it's not a similar weave. So it won't drape quite the same, but it'll be close. Still haven't found the sewing needle that I misplaced, incidentally.
It's long gone. It'll come up when you least expect it to.
I was sewing on a piece and somebody distracted me and I set the piece down, the sewing piece that I was working on. It wasn't this, it was another piece. In fact, it was another mask for me going out grocery shopping. And ever since then, I have not been able to find that sewing needle. And it scares me. Because as Val says, yes, I'm probably going to find it when I least expect it.
Yep.
But if I'm going to do that, thank you, Wave Rod. That is my fear. And yes, I have been walking around barefoot ever since then. And I took a pair of high power flashlights and I have been over like the entirety of this portion of my abode multiple times to try and find it before my feet do. But if I'm going to find it with my feet, I would prefer for them to be shod feet so that I don't have to go to the hospital and get tetanus shot.
Right.
Or at least if I'm going to step on the needle, let the needle be flat on the ground, horizontal, parallel to the ground, and not perpendicular, sticking up like in the carpet. I have no idea where it went. I have tried looking everywhere for it. I just cannot find it. And it doesn't bother me in terms of quantity, because I have plenty of other hand needles. It bothers me because I don't know where it is. And it's like you're walking around in an empty room in the middle of the night, and the needle is somewhere in there.
Yep. That's why I wear house shoes, because even though I'm almost 100% positive that I have no needles or pins in the floor, there's still that 0.00001% chance I forgot one. And I'm going to step on it. So I always wear shoes.
And also before anyone asks, yes, I've also done the magnet on a stick.
Yeah, she was, but I think it was the first thing you said you did.
That was the second thing I did. The first thing I did was I took one of my little portable flashlights that I keep with me because my power likes to go out at the worst possible time. And my my abode is pitch black whenever there is no light because I face north, so there is no natural light. So I keep little flashlights at my desk. But the first thing I did was I used a flashlight to try and find the shine of the needle, because the needles are all very shiny. And generally, if it hits the ground, it makes a tinny sound.
Right.
It makes a very metallic tinny sound. And I never heard that, which it implies to me it's sitting on a shelf somewhere. It never actually hit the ground.
That's possible.
It would be better for my feet.
Yeah.
But yeah, the second thing I did was the magnet on a stick. And it only picked up fuzz and lint. It did not, in fact, pick up anything metal. It did try and pick up my folding chair, but that did not work.
That doesn't work very well.
It did try. And actually, Wave Rod, that is what Ren Faire is for. Everything is on a stick.
Oh yeah, the best stuff is on a stick.
You can get any sort of protein on a stick. You can get a quesadilla on a stick. You can get cheesecake on a stick. You can get any sort of fruit on a stick. You can get pretty much any sort of frozen dessert on a stick. You can get ice cream on a stick.
Funnel cake on a stick. Oh, it's so good.
You can pretty much get any sort of thing you want to eat on a stick at Ren Faire.
Or fun gifts on a stick, like masks.
Well, there are other things, but since it was said corn dog specifically, like food.
The best stuff is on a stick.
Order of the Stick is also fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So that is all that I have for cosplay updates. I did want to mention this is not a cosplay update of mine, but in case you guys have not seen on our Twitter or seen it shared on Facebook, Humble Bundle, which is a service that resells ebooks and other sundries like games and accessory packs and things like that, their current book bundle is for cosplay. It is all sorts of things cosplay. It's sewing, it's makeup, it's working with wigs, it's working with props and armor and foam, and there's even patterns in there from Kamui Cosplay. The way that Humble Bundle does it is a pay what you want model. They have minimum amounts you have to pay for the different tiers of items, and tier, T-I-E-R, not. You don't want to cry when you're purchasing this, but.
You may cry because you're so happy that you're getting so many books for such a low price.
That is true. And because it's for a good cause, because they are helping out not one, but two charities, which are really good charities. And you get to choose when you pay money to Humble Bundle, you choose where your money goes.
Mm-hmm.
It can either go to Humble Bundle themselves, it can go to the authors of the books, or it can go to the charities and you set the proportions of those monies. So not only do you get to pay what you want, but you get to pick where that money goes, and you get a whole bunch of really awesome books and supplies with it. So check it out. It is humblebundle.com if you are interested. And no, they're not sponsoring the show. They're just really cool.
They just happen to have good books. And we've, funny enough, we've interviewed like a bunch of the authors before. We've interviewed Kamui, Punished Props, Vulpen Props. And they've all been good books.
They're solid books, you guys. There's not a bad book in there.
Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of announcements, we've got more announcements.
More announcements, because it's the announcement podcast for some reason. If you guys noticed my insert last time, we are doing an online cosplay contest for AllCon this year. We got final approval on everything. Yay! We have, as of today, a week left for entries. So if you haven't signed up, please do so right now. Like, if you're listening this very second, please sign up. Do so. It's all gravy. We are more than 70% capacity right now, which means we have these many slots left before we have to close the form, which is awesome. Don't forget what our prize packages are. The grand prize is that Cricut 2. Hang on, I'm going to look over here because it's in the corner. The Cricut Explore Air 2 bundle, which is the Cricut, has a bunch of the additional accessories, tools. We got some vinyl in there, and it comes with the foam bundle that we're giving away for the other categories. Like, the entire prize package is well over $400, and it's like a cosplay kit in a box. A very heavy box, but it's a cosplay kit in a box. And I would love to be able to get this out of my home. So if you sign up, you have a chance of winning this beautiful thing.
And we will ship it to you.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to be shipping it to you. You don't have to worry about shipping fees. We will take care of all of that. Yay. Or if you happen to live in our area, I'll be happy to drive it up to your door, drop it off, and get away. but other than that, so yeah, just make sure that you sign up. If you've entered in a contest before with AllCon, if you've never been to AllCon, that's cool. As long as you live within the contiguous 48 of the United States, you are cool to enter. We just want people to have a place to show off their work and just have fun doing it. And we've had so many really cool entries, and a lot of them are very much in the spirit of AllCon, where you got these cool mashups. So I'm really excited for people to see all this hard work that these cosplayers have put together. It's so great. And then our other announcement is that we have some of our judges already lined up, and thankfully we got two of them that were supposed to be with us in March that have been gracious enough to accept it, so that way they come back again. Yay! We have Miko Miko Cosplay, and we have Meow About Cosplay. Yay! So thank you to them for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. And I think they're going to be thrilled to see what the contestants are bringing to the table this time. Man, that's all I
know.
I
know, we certainly are.
Yeah. Basically, sign up. Even if you don't think you have a chance, you never know. You might be really, really surprised. So just sign up. It takes maybe 5 minutes out of your day to fill out the form, and then you're done.
And the good news is, if you are somebody who gets anxious about going up on stage, you don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about that. It is as anxious-free as possible. It's great. It's going to be mostly me being anxious as I come up with the format and getting it to fit in the streaming setup.
And of course, we will be streaming the event live for you guys.
Yes. It'll be on Friday, June 12th, during our normal podcasting time at 7 p.m. Central. So this is going to be fun. We're going to try our best to make it as lifelike to a real cosplay contest as we can. I mean, yes, we got to fudge it a little bit because it's going to be mostly photos, but still, we're gonna do our best with this and have some fun with it.
All right. So, of course, we will have the information. You can find it on our website, of course, cospod.org, or you can go to any one of our social medias to find the sign-up information for the cosplay contest.
Or if you just want to be an uber cool human being and donate to AllCon because they're working on recovering the funds that they lost this year because they couldn't hold their convention during their normal time, if you check in the box below, it actually has a link directly to AllCon and where you can buy a pass for their upcoming event, or you can donate and just be a cool person that way.
Yep. Why not both, as they say?
Why not
donate
both?
To AllCon and sign up for the cosplay contest.
Because you can totally do that. You will get a gold star from us, but that doesn't mean it'll give you a boost in the contest. Sorry.
Yeah, no favoritism from us.
No favoritism.
We're not judging.
No favoritism.
This is why we don't judge. Mm-hmm.
It's hard even just in general to judge because every time you see a cosplayer, just in general, you want to give everyone like a gold star for just doing it. Like, you did the thing. Congratulations. Because it's so much.
And it's not just for the sake of participation, like, hey, everybody gets a trophy. It's because we know what it takes to make a cosplay. That stuff's hard, yo.
And then to get up on a stage and show it off, or to go into a judging room and tell like a couple of people how you made the thing, like, it's stressful. It's a lot of work.
And speaking of judging people at cons...
Hey, but not in a bad way. Nice segue.
No, in the sense of judging cosplay contests.
Small correction there.
Just clarification.
Just a smidge.
Would you like to introduce our topic?
Sure. So our topic today... is, so you want to be a cosplay guest. We're going to dive into the culture of guesting, what you got to do to promote yourself, and making sure that you get paid for your work, because now is probably a great time to start working on your portfolio if you're considering entering into the world of cosplay guesting, because things are still a little bit of a flux. The pandemic is still going on. People are home from work, home from school, a little bit more than normal, so... why not start working on what you need to be doing so you can get yourself into cons next year? So that's what we're going to talk about.
And it's pretty common that when people start cosplaying, everybody wants to be a cosplay guest.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody sees those names up on the marquee, see the names in the convention booklets. They get to see all these really awesome panels done by these really knowledgeable people with fancy costumes. Everybody wants to be a cosplayer. So, we get it. But it's not all fun and games.
No, it's actually a lot of work.
And it's fun.
It is fun.
It is fun. And there may be games, but it's not all fun and games.
It's mostly work.
It's a lot of work. If you thought running a convention was hard work or staffing a convention is hard work, being a guest can also be a lot of
Yeah.
So, I guess first things first is, how do you get your name in the hat?
Yeah. Well, I guess what we probably may want to start with is the two types of cosplay guests. At least I think there are two different types of guests. I think of it as there's the model cosplay and then the informational cosplayer. Like, the model cosplayers are the one who are there to sell their products, their brand, their image. They do photo ops, they do signings. They're not really there to do panels or to teach things. They are there just to be themselves as a guest, as if they were like a celebrity, essentially. And then, And then you have the informational ones, and they're the people who are there who do the panels, the demonstrations, who judge the cosplay contest. So they kind of have two different variations. Both of them work hard, because I want to make that clear. Both work very hard. But there are definitely two different scopes of cosplay guests these days compared to how it was like even a decade ago. Like, a decade ago, it was mostly focused on the informational. Now we've got this transition where we got two different types of guests. So it probably helps to figure out which one you want to go for. Are you more of the model guest, or are you more of the informational guests? because that's going to tweak how you create your portfolio and how you market yourself to conventions.
Yep. And it's not just your knowledge level. Can you teach those panels to people? But how comfortable are you doing it?
Right.
Because it takes a certain kind of personality to feel at ease when you're in front of, it can be two people or it can be 200 people.
Or 1,000 people, depending on how big the convention and the event is and how popular the panel is.
I don't think I've ever seen a teaching panel go over 200.
Oh, I have.
But I also haven't. I also haven't been to the larger cons. So
yeah, I definitely have.
Also, Wave Rod, guessed who?
Nice.
Anyways, proceed.
So definitely on that front, you know, it's a good idea before you even start like diving into the cosplay guesting world. Take some time to make some panels and go to your local convention, whether it be in person when that becomes allowed in the near future or online, and start teaching those panels. Start doing demonstrations. See how you feel about them. Learn what you've been doing well. Learn what you need to improve upon. But then also get feedback from the people who are at your panels and watching, so that way they can tell you, okay, here's what you can do to really strengthen your panel skills. Because that's going to be a big, big selling point for you, especially if you're wanting to be an informational cosplay guest, is how well can you teach these panels and make them so informative that people want to keep coming back to learn more.
Yep. And if you haven't taught panels before, helpfully, we've done actually, I think, a couple of different episodes on what makes a good panel.
Like 3 or 4 of them by now. I think I've lost count.
We've been panelists for a long time between the two of us, and we've taught cosplay panels quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we try and give you guys good tips, but unfortunately, the best way of learning this is just to do it yourself.
Yeah. You can prepare as much as you want to, but you got to kind of dive in and do it.
Yes. And not only that, but it will also help add to your portfolio as a cosplayer. Even if you don't end up being a guest at the convention that you want to be a guest at, it does kind of help build up that experience level and brings more of a positive reputation to you as a cosplayer in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of reputation in a community, promoting yourself.
Yeah. And a lot of that is going to be social media based too, because conventions do look at those numbers, as unfortunate as that is, because we know social media is a very fickle mistress where likes and shares can be purchased, unfortunately. And so you may not always get the true numbers of the people who are following you. That's a hard area to break through. If you're more on the model side, they're going to be looking more at your likes and your shares and your follower numbers, because then they're going to be like, oh, this is a bigger person. We want to bring them in so they attract more people to come in and bait for badges and all that stuff. So, you know, in that place, you need to like, okay, you have to look into doing some paid advertising. You have to maybe hire a social media consultant that is a thing. I've done it to help boost your numbers, because sometimes it's what you got to do to get noticed. And as unfortunate as that is.
And it may behoove you to have a separate social media account for your cosplayer persona as opposed to your personal social media. And that's simply because there's a certain level of professionalism that is expected. And generally, you won't want to put anything controversial, if you can help it, on your cosplayer profile, because that is also looked at by conventions. Conventions are looking for somebody that can help them bring in ticket sales, mm-hmm. because that's really a big part of what helps them survive financially is ticket sales. And so this is why they don't just bring in, you know, any cosplayer who asks. They're going to look for people that can really help the convention's image and bring in those ticket sales. And because of that, they're going to look at the quality of your social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as anybody who has had to handle social media on a constant basis, it is a ton of work. It is so much work, and you can't just be on one piece of social media.
No.
You have to pretty much be on all of the popular platforms at the same time, which takes even more time management. And you have to engage on each one. It's a ton of work.
It's awful. I don't recommend it. It's not fun.
But it is part of what you have to do to promote yourself in the community to get the convention scout's eyes on you as a cosplayer, because pretty much the only, I guess it would be three ways that you end up getting your name in someone's hat is someone you know, a scout sees you, or you've been personally recommended by someone you don't know, but somebody who knows the quality of your work. So if, you know, somebody asks us and say, okay, we're looking for convention guests, do you guys know of anybody? Well, we may not personally know a lot of the people we'd recommend, but we know the quality of their work.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we also have an extensive network of cosplayers we know whose work is also top quality. And then there's the, here, let's scan through Facebook and look at who are the popular cosplayers who have a certain level of excellence in their work that we could use to fill out our guest roster if there are any gaps.
That method really doesn't work anymore because of how Facebook's algorithm works. You're not going to get what you want out of it. It pretty much comes down, a lot of what cosplayers are doing now is they contact the con directly and say, hey, I want to be a cosplay guest. I mean, really, and then it's coming down to us as the cosplayers to really put ourselves out there, which is why we need to have portfolios and we need to have references and we need to have panel history so we can present this to the con and say, here are all of my qualifications. Here is what I can provide.
Yep, because you have to earn that compensation that you are getting as a guest. It's usually not a case of, hey, let's walk into a convention, I'll teach one panel and then just veg for the rest of the convention.
No. It don't work that way.
No, usually cosplay guests, you know, of both types, the technical expert and the model cosplayers, usually have to do X number of events or perform X number of hours of service to basically earn back the compensation of the price of a badge. And or lodging. And some conventions are even nice enough to give you a per diem for food. So basically you have to merit or earn that. So you'll teach panels, you'll make appearances, you'll judge contests. You may end up being asked to be a celebrity on different, you know, non-cosplay related panels that are usually some sort of game related thing.
Or Q&A panels.
Exactly. Or you may simply be asked to do, you know, a basic Q&A panel of yourself as a cosplayer. Maybe there have been certain big events that people are interested in, like World Cosplay Summit, and they want your expertise to be shared. So you'll be asked to provide content and or participate in the entertainment.
And if you're not doing that, if they happen to give you a merchandising table, you spend the rest of your time during the dealer hall's hours when you're not hosting a panel or doing an event at your table, selling your merchandise or selling your brand and yourself.
Yep, and that'll be a big part of what you do at the convention anyway. Even if you're not at a table, you are basically representing your brand and yourself as an ambassador of cosplay.
It is a lot of work and it's tiring. It is fun. I think one of the fun things about it is being able to meet the other cosplay guests and to talk with the staff members. Everybody kind of develops a rapport with each other. And for the most part, it's usually very nice and friendly and cordial. Sometimes you make friends this way. You learn about cool new techniques and things that you didn't know about with cosplay before, because a lot of the things that I've been trying out lately have been stuff that I've learned because I was a guest at a convention. It's all the backstage stuff they don't tell you about. But it's good. It's fun, but it's also so dang tiring. Because by the end of the day, you're just ready to go back to your hotel room and just... pfft. Wait, get out of the costume first, then go... pfft.
Especially if your costume has a breakable part.
This is why I work with fabric. When it gets messy,
Yeah, just at least take off, like, the armor part of the costume before you flop.
It's a lot of plopping.
Val knows so much more about this than I do, because I've only been a guest once in my life, and I'm still stunned that I was ever asked to be a guest, because I'm not that great at promoting my own brand. I hate marketing myself. I really do. I'm just a massive introvert, and to promote yourself, you basically have to step into the shoes of an extrovert. But that said, one of the most fun things I had, or one of the most fun things I did, was to talk shop with the attendees.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a cosplay guest, all the attendees want to talk to you. Well, you basically spend a lot of your time not necessarily talking, but just listening. You can start the conversation, but most cosplayers just love talking about cosplay
yeah.
as a hobby. And so you can just kind of sit back and just take it all in and learn and have that interaction with the fans of the convention. And it's wonderful. It's the best way to learn things. And even if you don't learn things about cosplay, maybe you hear about new series that are really interesting that you might want to get into, because they're fans too. Oh, it's so much fun.
It's that part was so fun. Yeah.
I remember when we were finished each day at GlitchCon, we pretty much did.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even counting the try fair or the try back.
Went through spooky Silent Hill Mountain. That was fun.
I try to block that road trip out of my memory.
It was a good road trip. Don't give me that.
I was off in my own little world as I was driving.
You got us there safely and back. That's all I cared about.
Yes, which generally I am very good at whenever I have passengers in my car. So the only kind of thing I always think about in my mind for cosplay guests, and I know this isn't always the case, but let me ask you,
mm-hmm.
do you expect your cosplay guests to be in cosplay at the con?
Yes. The only time I don't expect them to be is when it's judging for the cosplay contest, only because having been in that situation multiple times, there is nothing more aggravating than having to get up and down and having to go on the floor and try to check seams and flip hems and all that when you're in this big poofy ball gown. It is just not realistic or feasible, and it's also takes tension away from the cosplayers and the contestants in the room. The tension's not on the judges, it's on the cosplayers. So us being dressed up doesn't matter right now. It's contestants first. And that's the only situation.
I would agree with that. But I also have an expectation of the judges being in cosplay when they're judging the stage.
Yes, that 100% absolutely.
If you're in the room doing craftsmanship, I can understand like not. Because I agree with you, the attention should be on the cosplayers, not on the judges' cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, even if you're judging stage, like if you're a cosplay guest, my expectation, which may or may not be met, but it is my expectation that they would be in cosplay as a cosplay guest. And if that is the case, then as cosplay guest, you also need to plan to bring play.
Yeah.
It may be multiple cosplay, depending on things. Unless you intend on wearing the same cosplay all two or three days of the con, depending on the con. And that said, you'll probably want to bring something very comfortable. I would not recommend as a guest bringing your fanciest cosplay. I seriously debated doing that for GlitchCon, and Val knows it. Because I was like, okay, which one, like, what's my most impressive cosplay to bring? And she was like, No, you don't
want to do that.
Tone it down. Bring something comfortable because you're going to be on your feet a lot. You're going to be walking around a lot. You're going to be exhausted.
Yep.
You don't want to mess with it. So that is what I would like to give back as advice for cosplay guests to be. Bring something comfortable. Leave the armor at home unless the armor happens to be really comfortable.
It's lightweight foam. Yay! You know, it can still be a fun costume. It can still be a fancy costume, but it shouldn't be something that's so big and bulky that you need two handlers with you the entire time, because then they got to get compensated for their time too. Con may not be willing to provide for them. So it's a lot of logistics you have to work out with. Save everyone the headache. Bring costumes that are comfortable, that are easy to wear, easy to pack. and won't cause you a ton of headaches. Because after you've been in them
If you're
for like
more.
12 hours, the last thing you want to do is try to peel yourself out of big armor.
And if it's something where you're worried about the delicacy, leave it at home.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be running off to panels and moving around dealers' dens and artist alleys with a ton of other people. You're not going to want to worry about the integrity of your costume. And speaking of handlers, something else to keep in mind is that cosplay guests do get a certain amount of compensation typically, which will be agreed to prior to the convention. You'll have a sort of contract where they lay out the terms and such, and they'll say, okay, here's what you'll be expected to do in return for this compensation. They don't generally include compensation for handlers. So, in other words, you won't have a hotel room for them. You won't have per diem food for them. You won't have parking for them, et cetera, et cetera. So, that's something to think about. If you have to bring a handler, you're probably going to have to pay for all their stuff.
And the convention won't provide you with one. Depending on the size of the con, they may give you an assistant from the cosplay department to kind of help you keep on schedule, help you with day-to-day activities, or if you happen to be stuck in a panel room and you really, really need a glass of water, they can run and get you for that. But they're not going to be your handler. So don't rely on the convention to help you in that area.
It's a good idea to make your acquaintance fairly quickly with the cosplay staff of the convention if you've never been to that convention, because they're going to be your primary contact. If anything happens, if you need anything, if anything changes, if there's emergencies, basically any communication you need, they are going to be your first point of contact. And they're also probably going to be the people you see the most during the con, so you want to be on good terms with them.
Right.
Yeah, they'll be with you in the judging room. They will probably escort you to your panels. They won't necessarily be sitting in a panel with you, but they will take you to your panel room. They will make all of the arrangements for your compensation with you. So, like, they'll make sure your hotel room's taken care of, all that stuff. So, make friends with your cosplay staff.
They'll be your best buddies.
And you don't necessarily have to like your fellow cosplay guests, but it would behoove you to be civil and polite to them,
Yeah, be
be
cordial.
respectful. Yes, because your behavior not only reflects on you, but on the convention. And the convention's not really going to be happy if you guys are butting heads publicly. Not to mention that reflects on your reputation, so other conventions might not be quite so keen on having you as a guest at theirs. So, be
Because
nice.
yeah, staff members talk, conventions talk. You'll be surprised at how tight-knit that community is and how owners of one convention are actually staff members at other conventions. So if they hear that you were not a good guest at this place, they'll be like, eh, cosplay handler, please don't invite this person. They weren't a very good guest with us. The word will get around really quickly.
But in a positive note, on the flip side, if you're a phenomenal guest, or if you happen to be a really good panel teacher, word of that gets around too. And all of
Absolutely.
a sudden, you'll have a bunch of other conventions asking you to guest. Because usually, whenever we're asked for judging recommendations for cosplayers who can help judge and run panels at other cons, we look to our own con experience and go, okay, who has taught good panels for us? Who have been good judges for us? Who have been good guests? And like you said, people talk. People talk a lot.
Yeah, that's how I got a lot of my guesting requests was because of the panels that I've hosted in the past, because I do a lot more of the advanced technique panels or just the fun anime panels that are a little bit more of a higher level. And that was enough for people to be like, hey, that would be a good panelist to bring in. So sometimes that's all it takes.
Doing unique panels can really help you stand out as a guest.
Yes.
Pretty much every convention you go to will have 101 type panels. Those are starting to become a dime a dozen, especially with YouTube being what it is, because so much of that is online now. So if you have the capability of teaching intermediate and advanced level panels, conventions will be more likely to bring you in because it's content that not everybody has access to. And there's not as much of it on channels like YouTube. So if you have a special skill, please feel free to share it with the class.
Definitely one of those things that when you pull together your portfolio to send off to the convention or the cosplay staff members, highlight that. Like if you do extreme wigs or if you do some crazy shoe designs that no one else does, highlight that in your portfolio because that's a key thing that the staff will look at and be like, oh, we've never had anybody teach this before. That would be a really cool asset. And that might be your foot in the door.
And also remember that conventions are trying to bring in ticket sales. So of course, if people see your panel and they get really excited about it, they're probably going to bring friends.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a full panel room, in fact, at a convention that I used to teach at, one of the things they would ask on the application form was, how many people do you expect to attend your panel?
Yeah, I remember that.
And because I have taught before to full rooms, I could say, I have taught to full rooms of this many people. That really helps because it shows them that you are a consistent panelist, that you can bring in those, you know, I hesitate to say headcount, but it's headcount.
Yeah.
To the con.
It really is.
And they like to see that. Thankfully, panels are not just all about popularity anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's gotten to the point now where the convention culture has evolved and we've seen so many of the same things now. People are asking for new content. They want new content. And now cosplayers with these unique specialities or these cool interests are coming in to teach this new content. So that's really fun to see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The more that you can offer as a panelist, the more conventions will look favorably upon your application to be a panelist or a cosplay guest.
Yep. So one other thing I wanted to kind of throw out there, well, actually two more things. When you're in the process of reaching out to conventions and get your name out there, you pull together your portfolio, the message that you send to the conventions, make sure you write it almost like you're doing a formal cover letter, like a cover letter for a resume that you're submitting a job application to, because essentially you're asking them for a job, even though it's like a 2 or 3 day job. It is basically a job. But in the cover letter, you want to go over the reasons why you would make a good cosplay guest. You know, what you can offer to the convention, what kind of content you can provide, or how well your merchandise sales are if you're a model cosplayer. What are your credentials? You can show off your social media history, or you can talk about the awards that you won for your craftsmanship. That's a good way to go. You also want to make sure that you're upfront about what your needs are going to be, and that can be your travel, your badge, your if you need a merch table or if you don't need one, because some conventions do offer it, some of them don't. If you need to have a food stipend, you know, this is the time where you kind of put everything out there in front for the staff to read, and that way they can make a better informed decision about, okay, do we want to reach back to you and talk a little bit more? So cover letter is always a good thing to start with. And if you've never guested before, you can try to shoot for the moon and go for the con that you really, really want to attend to. Go for it. It doesn't hurt to try. But don't be disappointed if they're like, no, you've never guested before. Try small cons first. Go to your local mini cons, go to your library conventions, like start small, work your way up. You got to build up that reputation like everybody else. So don't get disappointed if Dragon Con is like, we've never heard of you, so no.
And we don't want to knock small conventions because small conventions need guests too. And actually some of the best conventions that we have been to, some of our favorite conventions, the most laid back cons are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of our local library cons was a fantastic con. It was better than some of the bigger cons we have in the area.
Yeah, they had a really good collection of panels.
Don't be afraid of local smaller conventions. They can actually be just as good, if not better, than some of the bigger ones. And it also helps bring up the profile of some of the smaller cons, too.
Absolutely. Little cons need love, too.
Yes. Yes, please. And your local library.
Right, yeah. Much love to the libraries. The last big thing for me is make sure you get compensated/paid for your work. Don't do the cosplay guesting for free. If the con is like, well, yeah, you have to pay for your badge, that should be an immediate red flag of no, because you're going to be doing a lot of work and it shouldn't be on your dime. Now, depending on the size of the convention, you may make some compensation. You know, you may be like, okay, well, you know, it's only a 1,000-man con. A badge should be enough. But then you also need to work with them about, okay, slim down the number of panels that you offer, slim down the amount of content that you'll be there for. So don't be there for all 3 days and then pay for your hotel room and pay for dining out and pay for this and this and this and this just to have a badge covered. That's not fair to you. And that's not a way to get your name out there because you're just wasting a bunch of money and time when you're not getting properly compensated. So keep those red flags up. If something sounds fishy or too good to be true, it probably is. Go with your gut and make sure you're compensated. Please don't work for free.
Or for exposure. You wouldn't make a costume for
No.
somebody for the price of getting your name out there. Why would you work for a convention for the price of getting your name out there? Kind of the same thing.
Because this is a job that you are doing, you need to be paid for it. It may not be that you're getting an actual paycheck, depending upon your popularity as a cosplayer, or some conventions actually do pay you. I have been paid before, and that was really, really nice. But for me and for what I offer, like as long as they can provide me with hotel accommodations, they can cover my travel. If they can give me a food stipend, that'd be fabulous and even better. But I eat very little anyway, so it's not a big cost to them. Then that for me is plenty because that allows me to do my job, to offer content, and still give back to the community in a way that I appreciate. So, but it's gonna be different for everybody. But just don't go if the con's like, yeah, you have to pay for everything. That don't fly in 2020. Say no to that, kids.
Just say no.
Just say no. Get paid for your work, please.
And it's always negotiable too.
Yes.
So there may need to be compromise on both sides, but you can always ask, and the worst that they'll tell you is no.
But it is a fun experience. I definitely recommend doing it if you're interested in it. Just work on your panels or work on your modeling, figure out which route you want to go with, and go have fun. Go have fun, go learn, and go work and be tired. Get a really good night's of sleep afterwards, that's for sure.
Follow 621, especially if you're a guest.
Please do.
Do not cut corners on the food or on the rest when you are a guest. Especially don't cut corners on the showering, please.
Man, when you've been in a costume for like 8 to 12 hours, the first thing you want to do is shower. You're just like, I'm done. I need to clean.
I mean, if you're going to be a guest, you don't want to be like stinking everything up
Yeah,
as
no.
soon as you get into the con. Not cool.
No.
Represent cosplay. Well, I believe that is everything I have on the topic.
That's everything that I've got that went through my list. Yay! So now you know how to be a cosplay guest. Good luck.
And of course, if you guys have anything that you would like to add, maybe you have experience being a cosplay guest and would like to share with everybody else who watches our podcast. Feel free to join in the conversation on any of our social media, which you can find here.
In the corner that I'm still pointing to. Back to Amber.
And of course, if you'd like to share your experiences privately, please keep them family friendly. You can email us podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, we hope everybody is staying healthy and safe out there. Please use this time to work on your costumes, work on your portfolios, work on what you need to be the best cosplay guest that you can be. We will see you guys in episode 212. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, guys!